You know, I have to tell you, you know, there are many mysteries that go on in my life. I mean, there are mysteries. I mean, you know, I've always, you know, in just in everyday life, you know, the mystery of how they set gas prices. I don't get it. You know, there's the mystery that really profounds me. How do you fold a fitted sheet? You know, I mean, that's just not only irritating, but a mystery. But the mystery that hits me more than anything else most recently is health insurance, how it really works. I mean, if you think about it, you know, I mean, I got this thing from Blue Cross Blue Shield the other day for a doctor's visit that I had, and it said basically for medical services, and it said amount charged, $360. Then it said allowable charges, $116. Then it said copay, $45. And then it said amount paid, $69. Now, I know how they got the 69. They subtracted the 45 from the 116, and then they got that. But the part that I don't get is amount charged and then allowable charges. I mean, this makes no sense to me. I'm serious. I mean, you know, how does Blue Cross Blue Shield get away with that? I mean, that's like me going into a restaurant. I sit down to a very nice meal, and the meal comes back that it's $200, and at the end of the meal, they send me, you know, the price, and I sit there, and the bill's right there, and I'm looking down, it's $200. So I don't think it was worth much more than $75. That's my allowable charge. I'm just going to give you $75. What kind of copay did they put in, by the way? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But the real mystery that we all experience, but some of us don't really participate in, and I would say most of us don't participate in a lot of the times, is the mystery of grace. Do you realize that you're in a sea of grace? Grace is unmerited favor. That's what it is. It's where God says, I love you just for you. Where he says, I'm going to be with you just because I created you. Where, you know, I know bad things go on. I know hard times come about. I know, you know, things that are overpowering come in. But my grace will get you through it. My grace will be there in the midst of it. My grace, which means his presence, is never going to leave us. That it truly is there. And that we don't just say, well, I know that. Where we actually feel it and experience it. I don't know about you, but in all lives that I've met recently, we need to know that grace. We need to have that palpable feeling in the midst of things that are sometimes really, you know, overpowering and uncontrollable and fears that just pop up. We need to have that grace. You know, it's interesting. The gospel that we have today is a gospel that really, in a sense, comes down hard on the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a group of people that were not too much unlike us. I mean, they were middle to upper middle class. They, you know, they were good people. They tried to have some sort of spirituality, religious structure. They didn't get tainted by the Roman Empire and sort of said, well, just, we'll sell ourselves out. They didn't become nominal in there. They were people who really, you know, believed. They believed in God, and they believed in Israel, and they believed in the structure of the temple and the synagogue. The problem that they had, and this is why Jesus comes down on them, is that in some senses they believed all that, but they didn't use it correctly. They didn't receive it in the fullness of it. They forgot about the grace of God in a way. It was almost as though they used it to promote themselves up instead of, in a sense, helping people into a relationship. They didn't die to themselves. You know, it says real clearly, it says, Jesus goes, you know, to the people and to the crowds, to the disciples. He says, listen, you know, the scribes and Pharisees, they sit on the seat of Moses. Listen to what they teach and do it. But don't do as they do. You know, I'll never forget when I first heard that scripture. That first scripture, when it was pointed out to me back in 1976, I was in seminary. My first year, I was in Gordon Conwell up in Massachusetts, and I lived actually right outside of Gloucester. If you know that area, I lived in Wingersheek Beach, and I traveled every day to South Hamilton where Gordon Conwell Seminary was, and I had to drive down about a 20-minute to 30-minute drive, you know, down 128 Massachusetts. And I'm, you know, every day I drive down there, usually I had another guy with me because we'd carpool together. And let's put it this way. As most of you know, I've always been a little heavy on the foot. I'll never forget pulling in, getting up, parking in the parking lot to go into class and getting in there. And another car pulled in right behind me. And as he pulled in right behind me, he looked at me and he said, "You know, you're kind of driving a little fast there, weren't you? Didn't you ever hear of the scripture?" And he named the scripture, you know, they don't, you know, practice what they teach. And he named that and he said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I looked at him. I didn't say a word. I went right over to that car that I had, ripped any bumper sticker I had that said Christian off of it. I was like, "I don't want you to know that I'm a Christian. I want to keep driving." The truth of the matter is that so often in times we are like that, aren't we? I mean, so often in times we are people who, you know, we do believe, but, you know, when it becomes inconvenient in our own self, we don't fall in there. And the place that I find even more, not in the sense of doing wrong, because it's not about, you know, just getting it right where at the end of the day you say, "Well, I didn't offend any of the Ten Commandments today." It's about doing His will. And part of His will, which is the part that I think so many of us as believers leave out, is realizing His grace. I mean, in everyday life. I mean, do you realize that the things that you have ahead of you, that you go into them with the grace of God? I mean, do you really know that? I don't mean just know it up here. I mean, know it down here. Do you realize that when you go into it with the grace of God, that means He goes with you? That means that when He goes with you, He's not about getting you to the destination or having you arrive or even about, "Well, we got to get to this solution." He's about just being with you in the moment that you're in right now. That God is much more of a God of the present than He is of the future. But He's going to be in the future, and you'll know it if you live with Him in the present. So many of us forget that. I'm fully guilty of that. I mean, there's not a day that goes by where I come in and I don't think to myself, "Oh my God, you know, I got all this ahead of me. So God, how are you going to get me through it?" And then all of a sudden I formalize what I think He should do to get me through it. I mean, I actually plan it. I mean, I actually say, "Okay, this is how you're going to get me through it." And then somehow, I don't want to call it prayer because I don't know that it's really fully prayer, although I do say I'm praying. It's more like wishful thinking to try and get me there. I had that happen to me the other day. I'll be up front with you. You know, I was one of the biggest things at my age that confronts me is, you know, my mortgage seems to get further and further away from the end, and I get closer and closer to where I don't know whether I'm going to be able to pay the mortgage every time. You know, I mean, as I go through, you know, it's just that, you know, I mean, I've got a 30-year mortgage, and I got it only 3 years ago. I'm 67. Do the math, you know? And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, you know, how am I going to get through that? And all of a sudden, something happened in my life where all of a sudden I said, "Oh my God, if that comes through, then I can pay the mortgage off." Now, I'm not asking for millions here. I'm not asking for a Mercedes. I'm not asking for, you know, I'm just saying, so I can get, and all of a sudden, for 2 days, I thought, "Oh my God, this is going to be great. I can pay the mortgage off." And I was like, "Whew. I got a life. I might have a life." And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, I found out it wasn't going to come through. I had a combination of kicking myself in the tail for expecting it to almost like feeling ashamed that I even thought that way to all of a sudden trying to figure out, well, how's God going to do it now then? Well, maybe He wants me to buy 5 lotto tickets tonight. God, what numbers? Tell me the numbers. You know, He never tells me the numbers. The truth of the matter and the point I'm trying to get across is this, is that God was with me, and the thing that He revealed to me more than anything else is that I don't know that He wants to have it where it's just resolved. Now, I do believe God leads you into solution, but I don't believe God just gives you solution. I think God walks with you as solution unfolds. And if you look at the story of the Old Testament, if you look at the story of the disciples, God is walking with His people through and through, trying to transform them by the life situations that go on. Do you realize that anything that you have confronting you in your life, whether it be birth or death, whether it be sickness or health, whether it be financial gain or financial loss, whether it be disappointment or joy. All those things are elements that God can use to mold and shape you into the person you're supposed to be, so that you will be happy, joyous, and free as you live that life. But if you just get those things, you know, I mean, let's name it. You get the birth, you get the life, you get the financial gain, but not the financial loss. You get the health, but you don't get the sickness. If you just get those things, you may never become what you're called to be. God works with us, and I believe molds and shapes us in the dark times of our life better than he does in the times that are lifted up. Now, that might not say, well, yeah, that really makes me feel good in the midst of, you know, everything falling apart. But the truth of the matter is, it's the chance where all of a sudden you come together. That's what the Pharisees missed. The Pharisees weren't dying to themselves like God wanted us to, like Jesus taught. They were trying to promote themselves. I mean, they weren't, you know, letting the law, in a sense, be something that raised people up and raised themselves up. They were using the law to promote themselves and bring themselves up. I mean, after all, Jesus makes it clear when he talks about it. He says, don't you realize that man wasn't created for the Sabbath? The Sabbath was created for man. In other words, this. You have a Sabbath. I want you to take a Sabbath. But I don't want you to do it so you can say, oh, I got through it. I did it. I didn't do anything on the Sabbath I wasn't supposed to. You're supposed to take a Sabbath so that you can relax and reflect on what's gone on in the past and what's going on in the future. But most of us don't shut down, do we? Most of us live to where, I got hope, yes, I have hope. But it's not hope based on, well, that the Lord will walk with me every day. The hope that usually we base on is somehow he'll give us those solutions that we so desperately want and that we've defined for him. That's not what faith is. That's not what being a saint on this All Saints Day is. Being a saint, which, by the way, whether you like it or not, you're one of them. Being a saint is where you say, I'm going to walk with the Lord and know he's with me in the valley of the shadow of death and in the brightness of the mountaintop. I'm going to walk with the Lord in the times that are happy and the times that are sad. I'm going to be with him even if I'm limping or crawling, that he's not going to ever leave me and that he's going to bear me up on eagle's wings, that I'm not going to ever be separated from him, but by God, I might have some really hard times. But I'm not going to be separated from so that even in the midst of the hard times, somehow, even in the midst of the hard times, I'm going to be happy, joyous, and free. Because I know the Lord's got me in the palm of his hand. You see, that to me is what grace is. It's really just knowing. And I think that God is somehow going to bring me through all the things in my life, but I don't think he's going to deliver it on a silver platter. I think he's going to give it to me, not where I'm groveling either, but where he's walking alongside me and pointing out the things that I need to learn and pointing out the things I need to do and somehow giving me everything I need right straight through, not till death, but through death into eternity. I think that's what believing is. I think that's what faith is. It's not where you say, I got it all right for today. I can go to bed. If I die tonight, I'm good to go. It's where you say, I was good to go even if I screwed it up all day. That God's grace is sufficient. But to do that means you got to get out of your own way. And most of us don't want to do that. I mean, think how easy it is when you say, okay, I really do trust that God's going to walk with me. But then all of a sudden your mind starts saying, yeah, but how am I going to pay that bill? Well, how is he going to fix that? I mean, think how fast your mind switches back to that stuff. Well, I know he's going to be with me through the midst of it, but, you know, how am I going to get through this illness that I got or this illness that somebody I love has? I know he's going to be with me, but don't you understand somebody just died here? Well, yeah, he understands that fully. And in the midst of it, he's trying to say, trust me. Trust me. You know, I want to end with a story that's a true story. And I've told it before, so if you heard it, please bear with me. I'm getting old. But I'll never forget when I was married for the first time. Very true story. In those days, I ran 4 miles a day, and I'd run to the first 2 miles out, I would pray while I ran. And then at the 2 mile marker, which, by the way, if you lived in Winter Park, you know this, at Glenridge Track, I'd circle that and then run back to my house, which is another 2 miles back. After running out 2 miles and telling God and talking to him the whole way, on the last two, I always said, I got to listen to him. The day my ex-wife moved out on me, I went out and ran. The first 2 miles I ran, and I was ticked. And I was yelling and screaming. You know, I don't know whether I was out loud or silent. I really don't know that day. I got to the 2 mile mark where I was supposed to listen. And to tell you the truth, I still was ticked. And I was still screaming. I got to the 3 mile mark, and all of a sudden, I tripped. And I fell flat on my face. And I, all of a sudden, I heard a voice in my head say, get up. It sounded like a German Jill instructor or something. Get up. And I remember getting up and saying, why don't you ever talk to me? Why don't you tell me what's going on? Why don't you talk to me? Because I was angry. I wasn't hearing anything. And all of a sudden, I heard real clearly in a still voice that said, I do talk to you all the time. And I responded. I said, yeah, but all you ever say is, trust me, trust me, trust me. And he said, well, that's the only answer I can give to the stupid question you asked. And I stood there for a second on the side of Old Winter Park Road. You know where it is, some of you. And I started to laugh. I mean, this is the day my ex-wife moved out. I mean, I'm emotionally shot. I started to run again, and then I heard without, as clear as I can hear it now, and I heard this voice say in my heart, in my head, if you trust me, great things will happen. You know what? He didn't define a darn thing. He didn't say, well, this is exactly what's going to happen. He didn't give me an itinerary. He just said, if you trust me, great things will happen. I'll be up front with you. That was 35 years ago. And I believe it's still coming true. Great things are going to happen. God's with us. God's with you. He's real in your life. But you got to get beyond yourself to the grace. You got to get beyond your plan for your life to the fulfillment of life that he gives to you in a relationship with him. And that's only by swimming in the sea of grace. Will you join me to swim in the sea of grace today? Great things will happen when you do. When you trust him, then all of a sudden, the things that the Pharisees did by making heavy burdens, binding people up, doesn't happen to yourself, because to tell you the truth, if you're like me, I can be a Pharisee to myself real easy. When I do something wrong, I tie big burdens on me. But when I enter into the sea of grace, those burdens dissolve, and his yoke really does become easy, and his burden really is light. God is with you this day. He will never leave you. I pray that we all have the ability to realize that. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.